Hello and welcome to this episode of Hard Knocks. This is your host, Nick Mendez. Today I'm joined by my lovely wife, Sam.
Oh, hi.
And then we have a very special guest coming all the way from Utah, Taylor Wright.
Hello.
It's really good to have you here. It's been a while since you visited both of us. When we came down here in December?
Yep, right before Christmas.
Good times. The Christmas party was one to remember, yeah. Let me tell you. Just go ahead and tell me a little about yourself. What makes Taylor Taylor?
Okay. Hello, I'm Taylor. I was born and raised in Utah. My family wasn't super religious growing up. I was with my family.
Oh, the glasses are coming off.
Getting serious.
Getting serious now.
I have a lot of siblings, to say the least.
Okay, how many siblings do you have?
So I have one full sibling, one half, and three step.
So that would be three, four and a half, technically?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay.
I have three dads.
Three dads. Now, is that because you're Mormon or? No, I'm kidding. By the way, disclaimer to all my LDS listeners, if I have any, no hate to you guys. This is a podcast made for entertainment. I just talk shit on everyone. That means I like you if I talk shit on you. So if you get offended, kick rocks. It's America. Yep. Freedom of speech.
So my birth dad and then my stepdad who passed away and then my mom's now boyfriend. I grew up in Utah. We just had a normal childhood, not like kids now, but...
What does that mean?
Didn't have like smartphones or tablets.
You rocking the flip phone.
Oh, definitely. 100%. I had one of the ones that you turned sideways and it had the keyboard.
You had the Sidekick?
Oh, yeah.
Must be nice. I had a regular phone, not flip, just a regular button, 1 through 8, 9. And I had to text by hitting the same button 3 times to get to a different letter.
I have one of those, the Razors, Razor flip phones. Yeah.
Sam, do you ever have a cell phone growing up?
I had the Sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
The one that flipped.
Must be nice.
But it was used.
Still, at least you had one.
I know. It was nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was fun.
Nice.
And I don't know. What do you have any question, like specific questions?
No, it's interest, hobbies. We like to do fun. What makes Taylor Taylor?
Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
No, not yet. We're going to dive deep into that later on. But if you read the title of this podcast, you're going to be like, what in the frick is going on? But this is, we're starting baby walk, baby steps.
Okay.
Hobbies. What do you like to do for fun? What do you, like to work out? You, pets, cats, dogs, fish, birds? I don't know.
Okay. So right now I am going to nursing school.
Nice.
Just got my CNA.
Congrats. Woo-hoo.
Thank you. I grew up playing soccer. Really got into running the past couple of years and run half marathons. I'm going to run my first full marathon in June.
Hey, running for fun. Hey, man, half marathon.
Sounds dreadful.
What's a half marathon again?
13.1 miles. Yeah.
I barely like running 1 mile, if that.
Half a mile,
struggling, gasping for my, just hanging on for dear life.
I know. It's more enjoyable than you think it is.
Okay.
During, it kind of sucks and it hurts, but as soon as you cross that finish line, you just get a sense of accomplishment.
I bet.
It's amazing. But while I'm going to school, I'm living with my grandparents. And we, up until 2 days ago, we had 3 dogs. And now we have 2.
RIP, pouring off a little man.
I know. We have a pit bull mastiff and we have a labradoodle. When growing up with my mom, she's kind of obsessed with animals. So We had 3 dogs, 2 cats, 27 goats, tons of chickens, ducks.
Wait, hold on. Are you just trying to be funny about 27 goats?
No, absolutely not.
No. Wait, you had 27 goats.
27 goats.
Did they have names?
All of them had names.
Bullshit.
Yes.
I'm not kidding. I can call my mom right now.
No. Just name 5 of the 27.
Lola, Billy, Coco, Cooper, and Clyde.
So sweet.
Wow. 27 goats.
Yep.
How many chickens?
I don't know. My mom has so many chickens. But we used to take them and paint their toenails.
Hey, whose toenails?
The chickens. You flip them upside down and they'd go still. You
right.
Their toenails.
Well, see, you just got a bunch of glamorous chickens running around your property.
Pretty much, yeah.
Nice.
And then we had calves, and that was really fun.
I mean, everyone has calves. I got 2 of them. Dude, that was a bad joke. I'm sorry.
That was a dad joke.
That was a bad dad joke.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was fun. It was kind of hectic, but
I can imagine. You got like a whole damn zoo.
Oh yeah.
Running around your property.
I feel like that's the only reason I had friends.
Just casually starting conversations. Hey Billy, hey Lola.
Honestly.
Hey Cooper.
No, really. And I mean, they were my friends, but also as soon as I mentioned animals to anybody, they'd be like, oh, I want to come over and see. Because that's not a normal thing, just to have, like,
really?
that many animals.
I think in Utah it'd be normal to have is animals running around because of all the landscape, all the farms and all that. Like, all the probably you have the acreage, the land for it.
A lot of people do, but in where it's developing so much in northern Utah, it's very hard to come by anymore.
Oh, so you grew up in northern Utah?
Yes.
Okay, so not like the hot south area where it's nice and gloomy and muggy.
Yeah, no.
Yuck.
I grew up in northern Utah, but we moved around a lot.
Okay.
I've never lived outside of Utah, but we've lived in the same places maybe 3 or 4 times because my dad was always switching jobs.
Gotcha.
And we just kept going back and forth.
Okay.
So yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Nice. Okay. Now, I remember you telling me that you were married before and you got divorced. Now, this is beginning of the nitty-gritty. You said you got married at age 18, correct?
So, did my research because I couldn't remember and it was 19.
Right, 19. Okay, yes. 19.
Yes.
Okay, 19. Now, what? Just out of curiosity, what made you want to get married? Did you get pressured into it, or did you just want to get married just to get out of the house, or I don't know, what were your reasons to?
Yeah, so well, when I was 17, I was still in high school, and I was dating this kid, and we dated my whole senior year, and he was a year above me, so he was graduated, he lived in St. George, and we would always go back and forth and visit each other, so 6-hour drive roughly.
6 hours just to see your
commitment,
your lover.
High
school
commitment.
High school.
I would never.
Lover.
I couldn't even afford.
She would just ghost.
Lunch.
Yeah.
She would just ghost. Sam would ghost. If you weren't like in the same neighborhood, ghost block.
Yeah.
Ghost.
See ya.
On to the next one. Let's get it. That is commitment.
Yeah.
Hats off to you.
Yeah. And, you know, he was a really good guy. I ended up moving out after I graduated. I was still 17, but I moved to St. George down south to be with him. Started college. We had dated for roughly 1.5 years.
Okay.
And he actually took me skydiving in San Diego.
What?
And proposed to me skydiving.
What? That's probably one of the gnarliest ways to propose.
It was really cool. I was.
What the heck?
How did he afford this?
Yeah, he was 18.
He was older than I was. He was a year older.
Okay.
But he was living with his parents, and he worked full time and went to school. So he just saved his money. He had a lot.
Wow.
Of money.
Which is it? He was a drug dealer? No, I was kidding. No, I was kidding.
I mean.
Okay.
So. And then obviously I said yes, because how romantic is skydiving? You know,
I mean, that's
every 18-year-old girl's dream, you know, like, that's...
Well...
You're not a girl.
I mean, is it every 18-year-old girl's dream to get proposed while skydiving?
It's romantic. Let's just say
I guess,
that.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Yeah, it's like a movie.
Unless you die, but yeah, right, it's like a movie. It's yeah. But so I said yes. Okay. Just head over heels. And then, you know, I actually had backed out at one point.
understandable.
I got really scared and I was like, I'm not ready to be engaged. And then we got re-engaged a couple weeks later.
Nice.
Wait, how did that happen? Like, how did that conversation go?
We just had a sit down together and I was just like, I think I'm ready. Like, that was it. Yeah.
So he waited. He was like, you know what? I'm just going to stick it out.
Well, we live together.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So he had to stick it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so, and I guess the decision of me getting married was, you know, I'm from Utah. That's, it's very common.
Says a lot.
It's very common to get married when you're young.
Is it really?
I think, oh, yeah.
What the heck?
And I think my thing was, oh, he's my high school sweetheart. You know, we're going to be together forever.
Okay.
But there were a lot of underlying issues and,
right.
Yeah, we got married. We got married 2.5 years after we started dating. So a year after we got engaged.
Okay.
And then we were married for 5 months.
Yeah. Nice.
Yes.
5 months.
So it didn't last very long.
Okay.
We were living with his parents, okay, which was really hard.
Right. Understandably.
As newlyweds. So.
Yeah, that's hard. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
That's really tough. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Sam's over here laughing in the corner. Yeah, that's wild. Okay. What made you guys break it off? What, like?
So I had found out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I had found out he was talking to one of my best friends in a way
scandals.
That he was not supposed to.
Yikes.
And we would all hang out. Us three were really close, and I just didn't think anything about it.
That's
and
the worst. They're just right there living a lie in front of you.
Yeah, she had showed me a love letter he had written to her, and that was really weird.
Wait, this is when you guys were married? She
yes.
showed you the love letter?
Yeah, after we got married. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Yeah, she was one of my bridesmaids.
Oh.
Yep. So, that was interesting to find out. And it hurt, obviously,
right.
But after I had moved back up north with my family, it was a breeze. I didn't even feel like anything had happened, really.
What was the worst, finding out that he was talking to another girl or that she was the one that he was cheating with you on? If that makes sense.
Yeah. It was harder to figure out he was with my best friend.
Right.
Rather than him just talking to some random girl. Oh, because it was both of them lying at that point. It wasn't just him.
The audacity of them just still hanging out with you.
And him not telling
you. And him not telling you. And her just going on, them living daily life, hanging out with you. Just, you know, freaking, dang.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
I know.
What is wrong with people nowadays?
You know, we don't know.
I guess you don't talk to her anymore, right?
No. No, absolutely not.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, when that all happened, my childhood best friend had taken their side, and now they're all really close and live in different state. Which, for the better, is toxic all around.
Fuck them.
Yeah, it's good. I'm happy now.
That's good. As long as you're happy.
Should have stuck with the pets.
I know. You're telling me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But damn, that is wild. I guess was between the 5 months you guys were married, what was like the best memory that you guys had, if any?
Of the last 5 months?
No, like when you guys were married, like within the 5 months, like what was like the best memory?
Definitely our honeymoon.
Where'd you guys go?
We went to Hawaii.
Nice.
My favorite part of the trip, we went swimming with sharks.
What?
Cageless.
What?
So we were snorkeling in the middle of the ocean with sharks.
What kind of sharks?
Tiger sharks.
Oh, God. Those are like one of the most aggressive ones, too.
Yeah. But it was really cool. You get in the water and they just they swim really close to you, and it's almost like they're sniffing you, and then they'll swim away. It's weird to say, but you kind of feel like at one with them when you're in the water.
You're such a hippie.
I know.
I love that about you.
I'm like an emo hippie.
Emo hippie. I think there's such things as emo hippies.
Yeah.
I mean, if not, you're the first.
Rarely.
Yeah.
You're the first. Yeah. You know what? You're the only emo hippie that I know.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I have that honor. Cheers.
Oh, yeah. That is crazy. Swimming with sharks.
Yeah.
I'd want to swim with sharks, but great whites in cages. I want something in between me and the sharks.
Yeah.
No, thanks. No, I'm not doing that. You know what? A stereotype, but white people do some crazy shit, and that is up there.
Oh, 100%.
White people in, my colored people out there, you understand. White people do some weird stuff. Love all my white people out there too, but y'all are some weird people.
I think it's just the adrenaline rush we get from it.
You can get adrenaline rushes from like...
I could die right now, but instead I'm like swimming with these wild animals, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't have the urge to willingly try to kill myself in that manner, I guess. I mean, I go skydiving. I don't mind that. I would want to go do that for sure. I don't know. Sam, what adventures?
Honestly, when you're younger, I feel like you're less fearful of things.
Yeah.
And then the older you grow, you just start to question.
Yeah. You're like, what did I do when I was young?
Like,
I could have died.
Should I be doing this? Not.
Why did I do
I'm
that?
Good.
You question everything you do. You're like, is this going to have consequences? Probably. You know what? I'm not going to do that anymore.
Yeah. You say fuck it and you still do it.
I guess.
Not drinks.
Yeah. If I'm going to do something crazy, I have to be at least a little buzzed to do something off the rails. I'm not willingly going to choose to do something dangerous. No, thanks. No, thanks. But that's crazy.
Yeah. And
that is awesome. Swimming with sharks. Still on my bucket list.
It was really good. We had some good food too.
Nice.
Some of our friends had lived on the island and they let us borrow their car. And to take the ocean road all the way around the island was like a 2.5 hour drive.
Oh, Jesus.
And so we took it because why not drive around the whole island? But towards the non-touristy end, so where all the locals live, it's beautiful out there. They have really good acai bowls.
Ooh.
What are those bowls called with the raw tuna?
Poke.
Poke. They had really good poke bowls.
Poke bowl sounds good.
Yeah.
I love me a good acai bowl.
Mm-hmm. Fresh fruit, fresh pineapple.
Oh, that sounds so amazing.
It was so good.
Made by the islanders.
Oh, yeah. And then they had shrimp trucks where they made like a little shrimp plate. Had shrimp, rice. And then like a Cajun like sausage mixture. It was really good.
Wow.
But yeah, that trip was probably one of my favorite memories with him.
Okay.
In like the 2.5 years. So
nice.
Yeah.
2.5 years. Wait, you were married for 5 months, but you were together for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about
like almost three.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in total. Like that was probably one of my favorite memories with him.
Nice. Yep. Cool. That's awesome. And so what, you guys got divorced, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you got it right after like the 5 month mark, or?
No. So actually,
oh no,
we were separated, during those 5 months.
Okay.
And then the next 8 months. And then we finally got our divorce finalized because every time I'd go to submit the papers to the courthouse, they'd find something wrong with his information.
Oh my gosh.
So I'd have to go back, change everything, submit the papers again, wait. So in total, like legally, we were married probably 9 or 10 months.
Okay.
But we didn't see each other the last.
It sounds like he was just trying to prolong the marriage without actually like...
Yes. Yes.
Filling out the paperwork. Just, oh my gosh.
What would they find? Did they ever tell you like what they found like wrong with this paperwork?
One was his social security number, which, yeah. And then one of them, he signed the wrong, signature line.
Okay.
He signed the judges.
What the fuck?
And oh not the one that said his name underneath.
It sounds like he was doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely was. He's a very smart man. He reads things thoroughly, so I know, like.
Oh, so he was just being a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. He can just finalize it, and you guys could have just gone living on your lives way quicker.
Yeah. Well, and in real life, he's honestly a really nice person, and he would do anything for anybody, but.
In a relationship?
In a relationship, obviously, there's some
yeah.
commitment issues,
yeah.
maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Damn. But. Was he the guy that you had a dog with for, like, the longest time?
Yes, Frankie. And I still have Frankie.
Right. I remember you telling me, or Chris telling me, that for the longest time, it was like a custody battle with that dog.
Yes.
With that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mostly because it was either I get the dog or I get the ring. And I didn't care about the money or the ring, so I ended up taking him because he was my baby.
Yeah, of course. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Keep the ring. Give me the dog.
I actually heard from him a couple weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
He told me he's going to sell the ring. He hasn't yet. It's been
oh my gosh
years.
Jesus.
But he said he's finally going to sell the ring, and he's going to give me part of what he sells it for, which I was like,
generous. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I should be getting all of it.
He's just...
but...
yeah, yeah.
It was a gift, you know? Like, why would you get the ring back if you guys got a divorce?
No. I mean, I wouldn't want it. I'd be like, you can keep it. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be like, give me the ring back. Give me it.
I need the money. I need the money.
Just
granted, it wasn't that expensive.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
But
I you know. Yeah. I don't see why people spend thousands of dollars on rings.
I think the customary amount for an engagement ring is like 4 or 5 paychecks.
Yeah.
That's insane. And that's wild. Like, but it's an engagement ring. You don't, I've seen some women wear the engagement ring and then their wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
And then some women just wear the wedding ring. Now, did you wear both or just one?
So I only wore what he proposed with.
Okay.
My grandma is a jeweler, and he ended up buying it from her store.
Okay.
It was quite large. I'm not one for jewelry.
Dang, you're rocking the giant rock, or
it
what?
It was huge. And I don't like big jewelry.
Yeah.
I hate it. I did like very small.
Simple.
Dainty.
Simple, yeah. Like I would be happy with a crystal ring that's like $30, you know, like I don't care.
All right.
But yeah, so now.
How much was that ring?
So without my grandma's discount, it was $8,200. He took
Jesus.
It in to get it, appraised.
$8,000, huh?
Yeah. He just took it in to get appraised, and it got appraised for $79. So there was only $300.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He ended up buying it from her for like $42, though.
Damn.
That's,
so. Okay.
Yeah. So when he tells that, I'm going to get a couple grand. That's
heck
why I'm excited.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
You guys seen Legally Blonde, right?
Yes.
Remember how, like, she helps the main character, I forget her name, Elle Brooks, I think her name is. She helps that one lady get her dog back from the loser husband at the
yes.
end of the movie. She's like, I'm taking the dog, dumbass. Was that you at the end of you took Frankie?
Secretly, I played that scene in my head when you said that you were going to get it.
That's exactly what I thought, too. Like, I'm taking the dog, dumbass.
She runs out the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought about.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that. That's so funny.
I just imagined Legally Blonde and you just saying, I'm taking a dog, dumbass, and just booking it.
Yeah.
With a good old Frankie. Wow.
That was running through my head at the time. So
nice. Yeah, you know, at least you got the dog. That's
agreed.
Yeah. And he's still alive and kicking and healthy.
He is. He's beautiful.
That's good. What kind of dog is he?
He's a pit bull mastiff.
Oh, he's a pit bull mastiff. The mm-hmm. one with the jelly rolls on his back.
Yes.
Nice. 150-pound dog.
150 pounds.
Jesus, makes our dog look small. He's only 89 pounds.
And he's a big boy.
Yeah, and our dog's a big boy, and your dog might be like ginormous.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Every time he jumps on the bed, I think it's gonna break because it creaks so bad.
Jeez, like another human being. Yeah, it's 150. It's like a small,
that's,
not small.
That's
child,
more
but.
Than what I weigh. Yeah, and I'm not.
Yeah.
Super small.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Jesus, that is a big dog.
I know.
Man.
He's huge.
Yeah. Well, transitioning to the next topic. Now, we've all done drugs. I've done my fair share of drugs. Sam, you've done your fair share of drugs, or just one, just weed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Taylor, you've done your fair share of drugs, correct?
I have.
Now, you don't have to, you know, elaborate. You could if you want. But what drugs have you done? And out of all of them, which was the best/worst experience?
Wait. Name them in order of how, like the timeline of
what, oh my gosh,
you've done them.
Okay. So,
Don't do drugs, kids. I'm sorry. Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs ever. We are not.
I'm not condoning drugs. Yeah, we're just talking about.
You're 21 and older.
If you choose.
You're an adult at that point. Yes. You want to ruin your life? Go ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
Drink responsibly.
Yes.
Don't do drugs. All right. Anyways, I'm sorry. So, continue.
Well, I had not done anything throughout high school. And then once I moved out down south, started college, had that fun college party life.
Nice.
And I smoked weed for the first time.
Whoa.
And I hated it at first. The first two or three times I had smoked it, I was like, why do people do this? Like, it just wasn't.
Did you get paranoid? Did you get couch lock or?
Paranoid. Oh. I got really paranoid. I kept overthinking and kept thinking the cops were here or something. I don't know.
The party's going to get busted. Hide the weed.
It wasn't even a party. It was just like we were playing video games. Oh. So it was super chill. And then after that, I tried dab.
Oh, man.
And that's when I started to like it a lot.
What's that?
It's like it's derived from weed. It's like oils, pretty much, but it's like
super thick. It's like a molasses type thing. You put it in like the little receiver slot and you burn it.
You heat up the bowl, and then, okay, this is not a tutorial, but you heat up the bowl, and then you get the dab on a stick and you put it in there, swish it around, and it gets super hot and you're like sucking it out of the dab rig while you're doing it.
And that fucks you up super quick. Faster than weed.
It's amazing.
It knocks on your ass. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you.
Yeah. It's really good. I mean, it was. It was really good. Don't do drugs.
I mean, nowadays weed is legal and that's another topic for another time, but
yeah.
Weed is legal and people see it as a drug or a gateway drug. It's not actually, my personal opinion, it's way better than drinking and or doing other drugs. You know, you don't find people who smoke weed trying to cause problems. They just want to play video games. They want to eat, watch movies, and just laugh. And you have people who drink. I like to drink. We all like to drink. But people who drink get aggressive and angry and start beating the shit out of each other and start destroying property. Like, damn.
Exactly.
So I don't know why people make weed such a big deal.
Like, exactly.
But that's for another time. That's for another time. No, I don't want to get into that.
I mean, you try weed and then compared to opioids.
Oh my God.
Let's say you're doing like oxy after surgery or something. I've done that.
Oh yeah.
It's not fun. No. And I don't know. It's a lot better than anything else. Let's just say that.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I got into dab. That was really good.
Nice.
And then I've not done any psychedelics.
Little magic mush.
Really fun. I just jumped straight to the hard stuff.
Now, when you say hard stuff, what, are you talking like black tar heroin? No, I was kidding.
No.
Okay, good.
Cocaine.
I mean,
that's
hard stuff, but it gets out of your system. Like in a couple of days.
Yeah.
You sweat it out. You're just constantly sweating anyways. You're just like, exactly. I gotta go run 1,000 miles right now.
Exactly. So up until I got super addicted to it, it was probably my favorite drug.
Jesus.
I don't even know how to explain it. It's really fun. Like, don't ever do it because you can't stop.
Jesus.
But while you're doing it, it's so fun. Like, you feel like you can't stop talking. You have really good, deep conversations. For me, when I was doing it, it kind of opened my mind to a lot of things that were wrong in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized a lot of toxic traits that I had, what I needed to change in my life. So it was kind of eye-opening for me in the beginning when I was doing it. And then it got to the point where I couldn't go to work. And I really couldn't sleep because I had it in my system all the time. So basically, I'd be up for 2 days straight just doing cocaine.
Like, so you just do one line and another line and just lay in bed, or would you even lay down?
No. So basically, I was doing it with this guy, and he was a dealer for it, and so I didn't ever have to spend money on it. I just got it for free.
You got to do cocaine for free.
Correct.
Are you fucking kidding me? People spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on cocaine.
I know.
And you're over here doing nose candy for free.
Oh, yeah. And it was good, too. It wasn't cut with anything. It was pure.
Dang. It was a pura cocaine, man.
Oh, yeah.
From straight from freaking Colombia.
Yes. It was insane. So this guy, actually, his sibling is one of the biggest drug dealers in Utah. And he's the main distributor in Utah for drugs.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. But I would do it. I would wake up in the mornings, take a couple lines, go to work. Towards the end, it got really bad, so I was doing it at work.
Oh, shit.
it was really, really bad. And soon as I got off of work, I went to that guy's house, would do it all night, sit and play video games or watch shows. Ghost Adventures is what I'd usually watch.
You would watch scary shit on cocaine?
Oh, yeah.
What? It was amazing. I would not want to watch something scary. I want to watch something funny. Or, man, that would just get my heart even going even faster.
See, that's the thing you would think. But, yeah, that was my shit. I loved watching that. And going on walks, too, was really fun. Because you don't... Like, you want to run, you feel like you can run miles and miles when you're on it. But the fact is, if you actually do it, then your heart rate's going to be so up that it's not even worth it.
Yeah. By the way, we are indulging in adult beverages on this drink, on this podcast. Damn. That's the only way to have podcasts. Honestly, it's just to drink and chat and have fun. We're drinking soju, and for those who don't know what soju is, it is a Korean, I think, rice wine? I don't know. It's Korean liquor, and this shit is bananas.
This is not a paid advertisement.
This is not. It's not because I didn't say the brand. I just said soju. I just said soju. But it is probably one of my favorite drinks. It is with 12%, 13% alcohol.
13, yep.
You drink one of these bottles by yourself, you're going to be on your ass. Let me tell you. Sam over here, she is living the good life right now, drinking. She is just smiling and sipping. Like, she's a gangster. Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg right here, freaking gin and juice. Except it's just soju. But yeah, that is wild.
That is
crazy. Cocaine is a hell of a drug, kids. Don't do it.
Don't ever do it.
Don't ever do cocaine. Oh, my God. That's...
Yeah, so, but yeah, once I got towards the end, I was like, okay, like something needs to change. Mm-hmm. I kind of had an eye-opening moment when my nose started bleeding really bad. And I realized that I had lost 35 pounds.
Yeah, cocaine. 4 months. Yeah, you don't want to eat, right? When you're on cocaine, you just don't want to eat. I mean, you don't have the urge to eat or... drink water.
I would snack on goldfish occasionally, and yes, you would drink tons of water because it dehydrates the hell out of you. But I was throwing up all the time.
Oh damn!
My nose was bleeding really, really bad.
Jesus.
My family would even comment on how I looked really anorexic, which is not cool. I got mad at them for that.
Oh yeah,
but
body shaming is not okay.
Yeah.
FYI, people. Yeah. If you're a body shamer, there's a special place in hell for you. Yeah. You fucking don't be a dick.
Yeah, yeah. But it was really bad. It was, I didn't notice that I had lost weight. I had gotten on the scale one day and just kind of blew my mind.
Damn.
But yeah, my friend was also a dealer. I was talking to her about everything, and she didn't help the situation. She was moving away and decided to give me like all of her stash for free.
How much did she give you?
So she gave me 2 ounces of weed.
Okay.
She gave me 4 8-balls of Coke.
Jesus.
Which is a lot.
Okay.
She gave me 6 pints of Molly, and then she gave me a ton of Adderall. When I started dating my ex, he knew about all of this, and basically, I was trying to get better, but he helped the situation. He kind of helped me through it.
Okay.
I ended up flushing the Molly, flushing the Adderall.
Oh, damn.
I smoked some of the weed, but the rest of it, I gave it to one of my friends.
Okay.
And then the Coke, what did I do with that?
Just ate it.
Yeah, well, you do put it on your gums.
Right, right.
Yeah, just ate it.
Just
yeah.
ate it. You just take spoonfuls of Coke. I gotta get rid of it.
No, I think I ended up flushing that too, because there's no way I would have finished all of those by myself. And that, yeah, I'm pretty sure I flushed that too, but... And then since then, for 2 years, I was off of everything.
That's good.
And it wasn't hard for me, just because I had a great support system helping me at the time. And
it's good, yeah. Yeah, I think honestly, escaping addiction really depends on your support team, your family, friends, whoever you talk to most, you know, and if they really want to help you out, you know, they're like, you know, let's do this.
Exactly.
Let's help her out of this dark place.
Exactly.
That's good. I'm glad you got help. I mean, you're healthy now. You freaking,
yeah,
you lift, you run, mm-hmm. you know, you're that's awesome.
Thank you.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a wild ride for a while, but I feel a lot better. I actually have a life now.
That's good. That's good.
I don't know. It's been a lot.
That's good.
A lot better.
And it's funny how as you get older, you think about all the crazy shit you did, especially like drugs and that. You're like, man, I could have died. You know, there.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was situations you were in were kind of sketchy before, and that could have gone wrong. A drug deal gone bad. You know, rival drug dealer just came in and start blasting everything, or I don't know.
Or cops.
Yeah, yeah. Man, yeah. You could have been in the slammer.
Oh yeah.
You could have got hemmed up real quick.
I'm honestly surprised I never got caught with anything. I had it on me all the time.
Damn.
Yeah, no matter where I went.
Jesus. White privilege. No, I'm just kidding.
I was thinking it. I didn't want to say anything.
I have no shame. I have no shame. No, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, right. It's true. White privilege. Yeah. You know, if you see a sketchy looking Hispanic or any Hispanic,
any brown person.
I feel like in certain states and cities, you'll get pulled over or stopped just for being a certain color,
mm-hmm.
which is shitty.
And they'll come up with some excuses for
yeah.
why.
Oh, yeah. He was loitering. He was doing this and that.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But no, I'm kidding. No.
No. I was laughing with you.
she gets it.
Damn, that's crazy. So cocaine, huh? You do Molly, too?
No.
No? Okay, that's good. You're going to fry holes in your brain.
Oh, yeah. my sister went to one of those raves a couple weekends ago, and her friends had done it.
Oof.
And she woke up at some random person's house with all her friends.
Jeez.
She didn't know how she got there.
That's scary.
What had happened.
That's so scary. I don't think I'd be able to do that. It's like... do so much drugs and black out, then wake up and be like, oh my gosh, where the hell am
where
I?
Am
what
I,
what
like,
did I do
yeah.
the night before?
Yeah. She was 2 hours from where the concert was too.
Oh.
Yeah. Opposite of where the house was. So it was like 4 hours away.
That's scary.
Yeah.
That is truly scary.
Yeah.
I see that you have a bunch of tattoos. What's the one on your forearm?
This one. Well,
the listeners can't see, so just
yeah,
go into
yeah.
to detail.
So on my outer left forearm, I have it's shaped like a coffin. It has a dagger going through it with a half moon and then a flower at the bottom, and it's shaded red and black.
Mm-hmm.
I drew this just randomly.
Nice.
And just decided to get it.
I would do the same thing probably.
So,
if I dress something badass, I'd be like, you know what, fuck it. I'm getting a tattoo on my body.
Yeah, like it has no meaning whatsoever except that I drew it. I mean, so
it has a meaning. It's whatever you were feeling at that time you drew it.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, if you can't remember what you were feeling at that moment, like, man, that's cool. Coffin with a dagger, huh?
Yep.
That's pretty deep.
Yeah.
It's pretty deep. that's pretty cool.
Yeah. This one's my favorite one, probably.
Okay.
And then on my upper left arm, above my elbow, I have Cleopatra with a snake wrapped around it.
Whoa.
I'm obsessed with Egyptian culture, and the snake, she ended up committing suicide by snake poisoning. She was trying to deceive her multiple boyfriends that she had and ended up committing suicide.
Whoa. So you mean Cleopatra? Oh, you said the snake tried to... Wait, the snake committed suicide?
She brought in the snake Cleopatra. To bite her. Yeah, because it was poisonous.
Uh-huh.
That's how she committed suicide.
That's a hardcore way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's commitment. She's like, I got to be cool for my friends. Mm-hmm. Take a snake bite to the arm.
All right, here we go.
Am I going to die?
You slowly die.
That's a horrible way to go. Snake poisoning.
Yeah.
Especially back then, there was no antidotes. So if you got bit, you're fucked.
You're gone.
You're done. That's it. You're clocking out permanently.
Try to suck it out. Oh. I don't know. You see it on movies. Why not try?
True, yeah. That's true.
But, yeah.
Nice. And yet you have like a couple flowers.
I do. I love flowers. I have a couple from flash sales that they do.
Oh, nice.
Meaning. Didn't know that was a thing.
So for those of you who don't know what flash sales are, it's whenever the tattoo artist just draws random little like pieces and they just put them on sale for cheap.
Yep.
And some of them are just super random. Some of them, you know, are pretty cool. Some are just like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. My more meaningful ones, I have a Betty Boop on the back of my right arm.
Boop, 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 boop.
I got that. I was really close with my great grandma and she was obsessed with Betty Boop. Her name was Betty.
Gotcha.
So I got that for her. I have a lotus flower on my right shoulder blade.
Mm-hmm.
That has my dad's death date underneath it,
but
I'm getting that covered up because the older I get, I realize how toxic and bad person he was. So I'm getting that one covered up. And then I have one on my foot that says her only sunshine and my mom has you are my only sunshine.
No, that is sweet and sentimental.
Out of all my tattoos, those are the most
nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then now we know that you've gone marathon running. You actually finished a race the day you flew out here to see us. It was a half marathon, correct?
Yes, correct.
Damn. Okay, so next question, follow-up question is, what got you into running and what keeps you motivated to keep doing it? I mean, because you asked me, I'm not going to run unless I'm told to, or I'm running for my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how people run for fun.
Or for the toilet.
Oh my gosh, yes. I will run Fair. For the toilet. Probably shit myself or piss myself in the process of running.
Yeah.
But I'm going to run to the toilet.
Yeah. Or for food. Exactly.
Oh, Bridge. Yes. I would run for food. If they had like free freaking bomb-ass tacos de carne asada, I'm running.
Oh, yeah.
My fat ass is
going
to be running.
We're going.
I'm sprinting. You're going to see me Usain Bolt freaking running.
Yeah. Well, actually, like I said, I played soccer and lacrosse in high school, so there was quite a bit of running in both of those. But I didn't like running distance, really. Once I started dating my ex, he was really into running. His whole family was. And I would run a mile here and there at the gym, if that. And I hated it so much. And then one day him and his dad were going up on the trail running and they asked if I wanted to go. And I was like, yeah, I'll just run 1 or 2 miles. ended up running 17.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That is way more than you expected to run.
Oh, yeah. Almost 18. It was like 17.7.
What the heck?
Was not planning on it whatsoever.
Jesus.
But after that, I just felt amazing. It was the most amazing feeling. I couldn't walk.
You got the runner's high, right?
But, oh, yeah.
The runner's high.
I didn't want to stop.
The freaking legendary runner's high.
It's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
And it's crazy. But, so since then, I've done a lot of races.
Okay.
I have yet to do a full marathon. But I do have it signed up. and I'm doing it June 4th.
Of next year or this year?
This year.
Holy shit. I mean, you're already in good shape, though.
Yeah, it's just double what I did, and I can't just even walk after this one.
Just double, you know.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal.
26.2 miles.
Fuck it. 26.2 miles.
Yeah. So I'm really excited for that. I think, so when I run, I usually listen to a book. It's by David Goggins. For those of you who don't know who that is, he is just this badass dude.
Yep.
He was in the military.
Right.
He accomplished a lot throughout that.
Mm.
He grew up in a really hard life, and he just pushes through everything and that is thrown his way. He completes these crazy ass challenges, weight wise, running wise. He signed up for 100 miler without any training.
Jesus.
And he finished it in the time that was given to him. So I don't know. So I listened to his book that he wrote.
Mm.
And yeah, it's really good. Keeps me going. Like, if he can do it.
Oh, yeah. If he can do it.
Really, anybody can.
Yeah, I think I remember reading something where he said that he was, like, really big. He's really fat, out of shape. And he just decided to go to the military. But then he got denied a couple times. Then he ended up losing the right amount of weight. Joined up. I think he was a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, he was given, like, a certain amount of time to lose his weight.
Yeah.
And he lost more than he was supposed to in that time frame.
Yeah, he got super ripped, super in shape. And I think it's just that mental resiliency that he had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that just goes to show, if you have the mental resiliency to do anything, you can accomplish it.
Yeah.
The classic saying, you put your mind to anything, you can get it done.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that's crazy. And what keeps you motivated to run? You just...
Everything. I don't want to fall into old habits, old patterns. Just something to keep my mind sane. It's kind of to help. It's almost like a therapy for me.
Okay.
So once I get in that dark phase that I go through,
yeah,
I go running and it's almost like something switches and I'm okay.
That's good. Yeah. People do drugs. People drink. People work out, lift weights. People run. People read books. People draw, paint, whatever. And yours is, you found yours, and that is running.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. I didn't ever think that I'd be a runner. My mom was huge into running for a long time,
okay.
And I hated it. She would bring me with her. I'd run half a mile and be done. And that's how I was last year, early last year. And since then, I don't know.
That's
I awesome. Can run 5 or 6 miles straight and be fine.
Damn, I can run like one, maybe two.
Yeah.
And that's pushing it.
Yeah.
That's pushing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, can't do that.
Well, I would go, like I said, I would go to the gym even before, or even after I had met my ex, we would go to the gym. I would run less than a mile and be dead. Like,
right.
Couldn't even walk like I can't right now, but I just ran 13 miles versus half a mile.
Yeah. Damn.
It's weird, but it's amazing. You cross that finish line and you feel
the sense of accomplishment, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I kind of want to try. I want to try in the far future. In the far future, I do want to train. I understand that a lot of training does go into it, because you can get injured, seriously injured, if you just all of a sudden just try to run and jump into 13 miles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I definitely do want to try. I'm not opposed to run, just to say I did it for myself.
Yeah.
To feel accomplished.
Yeah.
Sam, I don't know how you feel about that, but she's over here sleeping, listeners. She's knocked out. She can't hang. She can't hang. But that's crazy. So now we're getting to the main topic here. So like you said, you said you lived in Utah. And for those of you who don't know, Utah has a big population of Mormons. And that's the main religion there, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. And you said you grew up LDS, which is the Mormon church.
Yes.
So I remember you telling me some crazy stories and how it almost was like borderline cultish,
yes,
kind of. I'm not talking shit on the LDS or Mormon church. I'm just curious to what the heck is
going
on over there. What is going on over there? You know, I mean,
really?
I grew up Christian or Catholic and then Christian. And that's just learning from what I've learned from the Christian church to the Mormon church, listening to what they preach and all that, and like the rituals and stuff, is just mind-boggling.
It's a whole different ballpark.
Mind-boggling. But yeah, so, you know, what's some of the craziest stuff growing up that you experienced in the Mormon church?
Yeah. So, growing up, my mom and dad were semi-religious. My dad was an alcoholic, so he had a hard time going to church, but we were really close in our community and everybody accepted him, so we'd go to church occasionally. When I turned 8, I was given the option to get baptized or not, and they give me the option. But being an 8-year-old with a bunch of Mormon friends, I obviously felt like I needed to. My grandfather, my mom's adopted dad, is very, very LDS. And so I was being pressured from all sides, but I chose to get baptized. And I just remember my grandpa telling me, like, if you don't get baptized, you're going to hell.
That's it.
You're like, it's a sin, you know?
You're condemned.
That's it. Seriously.
And you're 8 years old.
I'm 8 years old. Eight. Man. Why should any 8-year-old be given the option to get baptized when all their friends are? And
peer pressure.
Just like so much peer pressure from all sides. Wow. It's ridiculous. Okay. But basically, once you get baptized, you are supposed to feel the Holy Ghost and feel a sense of what you're supposed to be doing in life. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to heaven, all this stuff.
Right.
Anyway, I didn't. I was bullshitting the whole thing. I was like, oh yeah, I really feel, I was, you know, I really feel so wet in this water right now. You know, like, so dumb. But flash forward to a few years later, I was in Young Women's. Do you guys know what Young Women's is?
No. How old were you then?
So I was 13, okay. 12 or 13.
All right.
So in our ward, so churches are split up in different wards, which have different bishops.
Okay.
So in my ward, we had Young women. So okay. Girls around your age, would go to like girls camp and, just complete activities every Tuesday. Every Tuesday was Young women's. So for one of our activities, we would go do baptisms for the dead. Do you guys know what that is?
What? No? Sounds like a... Okay,
yeah.
Continue. What?
So baptisms for the dead is they take you guys into the temple. And you had to have a temple recommend, which I did, surprisingly. They would take you...
Take it till you make it.
I know. Seriously. They would take us into the temple, give us a white jumpsuit to change into, and with no clothes underneath. And take you into this room that, it was a beautiful room. It had a big mural on the ceiling, but in the middle of it, it kind of looked like a hot tub. And there would be a guy standing in the water waiting for you.
Okay.
You'd walk up the stairs, get in the water, and they'd read off a name of somebody who's dead that was never baptized in the LDS church, the Mormon church. And you would do baptisms for dead people.
So you're trying to save their soul after they're already dead.
Correct. Wow. And my thought process is you're just adding names to your roster to show how many people are a part of the LDS religion.
Oh, okay.
That's just my thing. They don't have a choice whether they're joining, and they're dead, but still. So we would go do that in white jumpsuits with nothing underneath.
So you're telling me you
old men.
Old men?
Old men would baptize us.
So you're a bunch of 13-year-old females. Let me get this straight. 13-year-old females wearing white jumpsuits, getting water poured on you.
Dunked in water.
Dunked in water. So there's nothing to hide. Nothing. You're pretty much, you can see everything through the jumpsuit.
Correct. What after you get baptized. Correct.
What the fuck?
And you do that about 5 times.
5 times of what?
5 times being, so like you stand there, they read off the name, you would get dunked. Come back up. They would go through the process again, read another name. you get dunked again. So you're standing there with the guy because there's an old man standing next to you. So you have to hold on to their arm and they hold on behind your back.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. That's.
And they would dunk us into the water.
That sounds just like a quote unquote legal excuse to touch young girls.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
That is weird.
After that, you would go into a room with them and talk with them just one-on-one. And they would give you, yes.
What the f-
And you could see everything.
Yes. And they would give you, I can't remember what it's called, but it's pretty much an outline of what they think your life is going to turn out like. It's so really weird.
They were reading the future too?
Correct.
Wow. Tarot cards or what?
Yeah. What the f- Holy crap. What?
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's just one of the many things. Another thing is Utah is very big on seminary. Do you guys know what seminary is?
Isn't it the process where like men go to become pastors?
No.
Oh, just kidding.
So
Oh, wrong.
So seminary is actually a credit in school that you can get. Mm-hmm. They have a class and they have a separate church building on the grounds of the school. Mm-hmm. And you'd leave for one period during school and go to church basically in the seminary building and learn a lesson on God. And that would count as a credit in school.
Okay. Wow.
And I know a lot of states don't have that. I don't know if anywhere else has that, but.
Yeah, I'm not sure if California does that.
I think, just Utah's just state and religion is not, I mean.
The church and state.
The church and state is not separate.
Separate.
I mean, that's what it seems like.
But, yeah. So, yeah, that was really wild. I actually was speaking to one of my friends a couple weeks ago before she got married. And basically, before you get married in a temple, you have to talk to your bishop about the things you've done with your husband. You're not supposed to have sex before marriage. You're not supposed to move in with each other before marriage. Mm-hmm. You're not, I mean, just basic, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Guidelines.
But yeah, just like a guideline list that you're supposed to follow, basically.
Okay. Now I have a question. I know there, I don't know how true this is, but I know there's like loopholes to having sex in the Mormon church.
Before marriage?
Before marriage, yes. Okay. So I don't know if this is true or not. You got this. Chris told me that in Provo, they do this thing called the Provo float, or it's called soaking.
Or soaking, yes. Yes.
When he first told me what soaking was, I was, my mind was blown.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a real thing.
So
I don't know. So basically what their thought process is, if you're not moving in and out, it's not sex.
But you're already doing the deed. Your part is in her part.
Yes, exactly. And it's just sitting there. You soaking. Just sit there soaking, floating, Provo float. Yeah.
The good old Provo float.
Yep. Huh? And it's a real thing. I don't know what their thought process is, but basically, if you just sit there, you're just soaking. It's not sex, even though he's
in
committing the deed.
Wow.
Inside.
How do you not? Oh my God, that is wild.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, before you get married in the temple, you have to talk to your bishop.
Right.
And you have to tell him everything. Everything.
Everything.
So she sat there. And she told him every single thing that they were doing. How do you sit there and tell an old man who you're not close with
just
what sexual things you have been doing with your husband and be told that you may or may not be going to hell because of it?
At that point, I'm like, you know what? Call me a sinner because...
Seriously?
I don't know.
Why should you feel bad about that? You know? I don't know. It's, you got to test out the car before you take it home.
The Costco, try the free sample.
Exactly. No,
is,
it's just,
wild.
And like teenagers, when teenagers do it too, they will go into their church and they'll talk to their bishop about it too.
Wow.
Wait, so your best friend did this not too long ago?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Damn.
Right, before her wedding.
Yeah, I would be like, I would just bullshit. I would just lie. I wouldn't. I'd be like, I was a saint. Never touch him. Saint. Never touch her.
Well, apparently God is always watching.
I mean.
He can watch.
Yeah.
I don't have to tell you.
Yeah,
I'll be judged by high power later.
Seriously.
I mean, yeah. But that is wild. All right. So you were saying all those crazy stories about Provo on the Provo float.
Yeah.
But okay. So you're not in the Mormon church anymore.
I'm not. No.
How long has it been?
So I haven't gone to church since I was probably 16. So about 7 years.
Okay.
I got my name removed when I was 19 from the church. You have to go through a whole process online to get your name removed from it. So dumb. But
to make it easy to access online.
I know.
Online.
And but yeah, so the main reason why I left it though is basically because they preach all these different things and they make all these rules that you have to abide by. I don't personally understand a lot of it. One of the things that they highly preach is non-judgmental people. They praise being kind and caring and to love everyone as they are. But they don't. A lot of them don't, at least. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I felt like every time I would go around certain people, because of my family, they would always look at me differently. Then once I started getting tattoos, that's when they started.
That's it.
You're
condemned.
Oh, that's it. Exactly. That's when it was like, okay, like no longer friends with her. So it was really hard for a long time because a lot of friends that I thought were my friends just kind of left because I either got tattoos, they found out my dad drank alcohol. I had more than one piercing in my ear. I drank coffee.
That sounds like everything I do.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was really hard because, you know, I'm trying to find myself and express who I am.
Right.
And they are doing the same thing. We're just doing it in different ways. And it wasn't something that was okay with them. And so I just realized for myself, like, this isn't something I want to be a part of. Like, I want to be a part of something that's going to actually love everybody and not judge somebody by the way that they look or how their family is or anything like that. So yeah, I got my name removed.
It sounds like you got it removed for the better, for the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long did that process take?
3 months total.
Jesus.
To get my name removed. Yeah.
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 Wow.
And, you know, so one other thing, my brother was dating this girl.
Oh no.
And like I said, my family now is not religious at all. And this girl was very Mormon. She abided by every rule. She's actually on her mission right now. She's very sweet. But she would peer pressure my brother into joining the church. So he got baptized, even though he didn't believe in anything with the church. He got baptized for her when he was 18. And then she started peer pressuring him to go on a mission with her and to fulfill God's work. And then she said, my mom doesn't want me to get married to somebody who doesn't want to get married in the temple. And just kept peer pressuring him to do all these things. And so I feel like that's their main personality, is the church and abiding by all of their rules no matter what.
Wow.
And it's really hard. You know, you can't expect somebody to do that.
Right. You gotta find your own way on your own time.
Yeah. And you gotta love somebody for how they are. Yeah, you can't just change them.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I can see why you left the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Escape is more like it.
Yes.
It sounds like you have to escape. It's like a mission itself just to get out of the church.
Really? It's like signing your life over to them. It's weird. And I know, like Nick said, I'm not trying to, you know, shit on the Mormon religion, but because I have a lot of friends that are still you know, in the church, mm-hmm. but for the most part, the experience I've had is that. And...
Wow. That's wild. Well, I'm glad that, you know, we were able to talk about all this, your life and your crazy stories and escaping the Mormon church, all the past life and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to have you on the show.
Yes.
Today is Mother's Day. So all your listeners who are moms, happy Mother's Day. You do great work. Keep on doing whatever whatever you're doing to be a good mom. If you haven't called your mom, call your mom. Don't be a shitbag. She loves you. She always got your back. 90% of the moms, I hope, have their children's backs. But yeah, so join us next time for another great, interesting episode on Hard Knocks. I'm your host, Nick, and we will see you next time.